This is the Arkansas 8-Man Podcast, powered by Scorebook Live Arkansas. And now your hosts, Aaron Weatherford and Steve Knox.
It's week 4 of high school football here in Arkansas, and we're talking 8-Man football here on the Arkansas 8-Man Football Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Weatherford, coming to you from Little Rock, Arkansas. And with me, as always, is the man, the myth, the legend himself from Northeast Arkansas up there in the fields. It's Steve Knox. Steve, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Glad to be back with you, Aaron. Looking forward to talking a little bit about an exciting week we had last week and what we got coming up in the week ahead.
Sure enough, we got a couple of things to talk about today. Obviously, on the Arkansas 8-Man Football Podcast, have some scores, some stats to present to you guys, along with new rankings out this week. Had a few changes, but not anything too drastic. We did have a couple of questions here that we will get answered for you guys, but we're going to go ahead and jump right into it right now. And talking about at the very top, speaking of Northeast Arkansas, we had a big one go down once again. This is a rematch of the week 0 slate. Number 1 Rector traveled over to number 3 Corning of the club division, where the Rector Cougars once again came away victorious in a 34-18 victory over the Bobcats. Once again, Drew Henderson, possibly the best player in 8-man sanctioned football right now, 24 carries for 189 yards and 4 touchdowns. And then tailback Braden Thompson also added on with 10 carries for 89 yards and 1 touchdown. So Rector keeping things moving as they still hold that number 1 spot headed into week 4. Steve, the Cougars are on a roll right now.
Oh, they're looking very, very, very tough. Just nothing, no secrets here with Rector. Just power, line them up, smash them in the mouth football. I mean, Henderson had a tremendous game. Power running game, Corning, which they had, they'd done that to their opponents the previous 2 weeks, just didn't have an answer for what Rector threw at them as far defensively. And they made it look pretty easy after a rough first few minutes, but they made it look pretty easy. And they're looking really good so far this season.
They sure are, and nobody yet has really been able to stop them. Now, obviously, that game against Corning in the first round was just a 20-0 final score, but this was obviously a lot different. And Rector's going to be fun to watch as we move through the season here. They got a bye this week, so they're taking a much-needed week off before they begin conference play. Let's go to our next one. Happening not too far from them, it is a little bit of a ways, but Cedar Ridge hosted Fountain Lake in a battle of bottom tier ranked, I shouldn't say bottom tier people, but ranked matchup between the Fountain Lake Cobras and Cedar Ridge, number 6 versus number 7. Fountain Lake came away with a 28-20 victory over the T-Wolves, and Fountain Lake finally gets into that win column. Abram Davis was the man of the night for the Cobras, had 20 carries for 168 yards and 2 touchdowns. Caden George also helped out on the ground for 11 carries and 48 yards and 2 touchdowns. Then on the other side of the ball, Aiden Jones, who has been the bright spot for the Cedar Ridge Timberwolves offense, threw for 160 yards and added 3 touchdowns for the Timberwolves. And then Jace McNeil, the running back, combined for 80 yards on the ground and through the air with a touchdown as well. And then on defense, Aiden Sober finished with 12 tackles. So the Cobras finally finding a groove here, but we're going to talk about their game they got this week. It's a big one again, but nonetheless, a good win here for the Cobras. And once again, Cedar Ridge going back to the drawing board, still trying to get back into that win column, Steve.
Yep, T-Wolves just seem to be, no pun intended, snake bit here, but since they played the Cobras last week. But, Timberwolves, they're trying. They're trying to put it together. They do have some bright spots on offense, trying to make their defense work completely. It just can't get a complete game between the two units so far. But, it was competitive, 28-20, relatively close game, and a big win for Fountain Lake, which had really struggled to get into the win column this season. And they've had their own issues with their quarterback problems. So good to see good competitive game between the two teams.
Yep, and don't forget, we will be featuring Cedar Ridge this week in our Arkansas 8-Man Game of the Week as they travel over to take on Rosebud. And speaking of the Ramblers, they travel down to Hot Springs, or Cutter, I should say, to take on the Cutter Morningstar Eagles. But unfortunately, Rosebud Ramblers headed back to the north half of the state with a loss as Cutter Morningstar takes down the Ramblers 42-8. A better-looking score this year for the Eagles compared to last year in a big win over the Ramblers. Big bright spot for Cutter Morningstar, Peyton Mills, the quarterback, 11-15 for 258 yards and score and threw for 5 touchdowns, Steve. So Peyton Mills, obviously the talk of the town over there in Cutter Morningstar, but this team is playing really good offensively, have now put at least 25 points in each of their last few games here. And the Eagles, they've got another big one this week, but a big one last week in their homecoming win over the Ramblers, Steve.
Absolutely. Mills, no secret there. The kid's got it going on. He's a star player, and he's one that they put their they ride through each game, and the kid just makes plays and makes things happen. 5 touchdowns. What a performance for him last week. And Cutter, which had struggled last year, is finally starting to seem to find their footing on both sides of the football, and they seem to be getting it going in the right direction pretty quickly.
Absolutely, and let's go ahead and move on to our next game. This was kind of out of nowhere, an interesting schedule, I'd say. I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there. Augusta originally last week was supposed to play Spring Hill, but that game was canceled, and looks like they formed a game with Marvel Elaine, and this was Marvel's first game of the year, but the Red Devils of Augusta came away with a big victory, 46-12 over the Mustangs. TJ Bledsoe for Marvel, though, had the 2 touchdowns for the Mustangs, so Marvel trying to get things rolling over there in their first game of the season. Augusta moves now to 2-0 on the season. Our next game here, Steve, a big one. This was also another game formed just last week during the middle of the week. Number 5 Genoa Central in the club division took on number 4 Woodlawn at Woodlawn. And the Dragons headed back to Southwest Arkansas with a victory as they took down the Bears 22-14. Genoa Central playing pretty good ball right now. Senior Caleb McClure, 15 carries for 118 yards and 1 touchdown. Sophomore Riley Harris had 15 completions for 193 yards and a touchdown. Big performance out of the sophomore quarterback. And then senior John Roy Renfro on defense had himself a day with 12 tackles there. Woodlawn did suffer a couple of injuries in that Midland game we live streamed 2 weeks ago, and they're still kind of reeling back from that, but the Bears did put up a fight against Genoa Central Friday night, almost coming away with a victory, but ultimately the Dragons got the win. Another big one coming up for Genoa Central this week. But Steve, your thoughts on this game from Friday?
Woodlawn, they put up a fight. You know, they don't have big numbers this year. I think they're only dressed 19 players the other night. They had a couple of key injuries, as you said, against Midland, and they missed having those kids out on the field last week. But by the same token, big win for Genoa to keep things rolling in the right direction for them. Good to see the Dragons getting a victory. A tough loss for the Bears, but I have to think that good things are ahead for both of these teams going forward.
Yep, and we will have the Woodlawn Strong Game as our game of the week coming up in 2 weeks as the Bears travel down to take on Strong. Here was a surprising score from Friday night, some might say in the state of Arkansas anyway. Number 2, Subiaco Academy of the Club Division traveled north for a non-conference slate game with Marshall, who had just taken a beating the week before by Izard County Consolidated, and it was a 10-point ball game. Marshall was in this one the whole night, but they could not come away with a victory. Yes, Subiaco Academy won it 30-20. I got to point it out, man, this kid right now for Subiaco Academy playing behind center Chris Monroe, the sophomore quarterback, had himself a night, 14 of 23 for 272 yards and 2 touchdowns. He also added 11 carries on the ground for 113 yards and 1 touchdown. And then, obviously, the athlete himself, Brody Koch, caught it 6 times for 121 yards and a touchdown. But got to give credit to Marshall, too. They played a really, really a lot better game than they did the week prior, but ultimately – you know, Coach Dunnigan and company trying to find that second victory of the season. Came up just a little bit short against Subiaco Academy. But, Steve, again, when was the last time we saw a Subiaco Academy player throw for more than 200 yards and then also run for over 100 yards in a single game?
I can't remember the last time that happened, Aaron. To the Trojans' credit, they just keep rolling along. I mean, you know, game might have been a little bit tighter than what we might have expected going in, but bottom line is a win's a win, and Subiaco got it done. Hats off to Marshall for keeping it close, but they've got to find a way to go from keeping it close to getting something in the left-hand column, getting a win. So we'll see what happens going forward with these guys.
Yep, two big more matchups for those guys this week, and then let's go down the list here. This game was called at halftime. Midland got their first win of the season as they took down the Hermitage Hermits 52-12. Like I mentioned, that game was called at halftime, and Hermitage is off the field this week as they forfeited that game against Spring Hill. We'll talk about that one here in a second. Our second to last game here to talk about, this was a good one down in South Arkansas. These two schools not separated very far from each other at all. Number 3 Strong traveled over to Parker's Chapel out of the club division. This was a close one all night, but Strong gets a win on the road over the Trojans 22-16. So that's a big win for the Bulldogs as they move now to 2-0 on the season. And again, Steve, we've talked about this Bulldog team, you know, really a lot of good athletes. This is a really good team that we've heard about as the couple of years have been coming on. A lot of these younger athletes are now there. And, again, Parker's Chapel, really good ball team too. They've been in a lot of close games, you know, won that big scoring game 2 weeks ago, lost that close one to Spring Hill last week, and then another close loss to a really good sanctioned team this week. So Parker's Chapel, I wouldn't say has anything to hang their heads on. They just got to figure out how to get to that next step and winning these close games against a really good ball team. So, Steve, your thoughts on the Bulldogs and Trojans from last week?
It was obviously close throughout the game, very competitive. As you said, Aaron, you know, Strong's got some young kids, some athletes that we've heard about the last couple of years that are starting to come to the forefront, and they're, you know, just getting it done and getting wins. And that's all you can ask from these kids. And, you know, for Parker's Chapel, big difference in last year and this year. They seem to have had things going the right direction under new coaching and new leadership. Tough way to lose a game 22-16 like that. But, you know, the Trojans have nothing to hang their heads about. They gave a good account of themselves against a very good team. And I think, as I said, better things are ahead for Parker's Chapel, and I think Strong, you know, they've got a big game coming up week after next against Woodlawn, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens there in that game as well.
Two big weeks coming up for Strong, as they got a big one Friday night that we'll talk about here in just a moment, but we've got to talk about our game of the week from last week. I was not there. I had some business I had to attend to up in Fayetteville, unfortunately had to watch that atrocity of a college football game Saturday night, but did get to see a little bit of this game Friday night before I did witness that. And Mountain View gets a big win over the Izard County Cougars, 44-8, taking down number 6 Izard County out of the sanctioned division. Drew Shelton, the quarterback, ran for 21 yards, but through the air, he had a great day, 10 of 11 passing, and then had a 202 yards through the air, and then 3 passing touchdowns. Levi Rory, man, they've just kind of combined different guys in the backfield. Levi Rory, 9 carries for 57 yards and 3 rushing touchdowns. Also had a reception for 16 yards. But Drew Isbell, 6 carries for 120 yards. So two guys right there. They've been kind of alternating in the backfield, and it's been working really well. And then Chad Russell, who stepped up big time, looks like, at the receiver spot, 7 receptions for 144 yards and 2 receiving touchdowns. So a big day by Mr. Russell, along with the rest of that Yellow Jacket crew up there in Mountain View. And the Yellow Jackets, they're not going anywhere. They are the team to beat right now in the club division, Steve.
Absolutely. I have no reason to doubt that, Aaron. They look very solid, very strong, well-coached, quarterback just makes right decision after right decision. That was a tight game for a little while in the first half, but after Mountain View came up with a big stop, ICC really didn't seem to have anything for them after that, and they just went on to post a big win. So big win for the Yellow Jackets, and as you said, they're the team to beat in their division.
So as you guys are probably listening, we're already to the rankings portion of the show. It is going to be a pretty quick show today. Didn't have a lot of games last week. We only had a handful of games. A lot of our other teams were off last week due to bye week, so don't have a lot of others else to talk about. That's all the games we are going to talk about this week. But we're going to do something a little bit different today. Me and Steve got to get out of here pretty quickly today, so we're kind of combining two segments here as we get ready to end the show here. Man, 15 minutes in. So let's go ahead and start with our Week 4 ranking, Steve. And number one in our sanctioned division that's still sitting there is the Rector Cougars. They looked great last week against Corning. They're now 3-0 on the season. They have a bye this week. We go to number two, and it's the Spring Hill Bears. The Bears back in action this week as they formed a game with Brinkley. We'll talk about that one in just a moment. Number three, the Strong Bulldogs. They take on Dermont this week. And, of course, at number four, Brinkley, they take on Spring Hill. Number five is the Woodlawn Bears. They have a much-needed bye this week before their big game with Strong to start sanctioned South play next week. And then number six, we still have the Izard County Cougars sitting in that spot. They start conference play this week at Midland. And then at number seven, rounding out the top seven, is the Mountain Pine Red Devils as they are back playing this week after taking a bye last week, and they are taking on the Marvel Mustangs. That's at Marvel. And then the other teams in our sanctioned division, Augusta also has a bye, and then Hermitage, as I said earlier, forfeited their game against Spring Hill this week due to too many injuries. So, Steve, talking about games in our sanctioned division this week, I think the two that are glaring at me the most, Spring Hill at Brinkley, that's a huge matchup between North and South, and then the second one is Strong at Dermont. So let's talk about that first one. Between the Bears and the Tigers, Steve, what's your thoughts on that one?
It should be a classic matchup, and we've got two good football teams here, Aaron. The Bears play their power football. Brinkley does the same thing. It's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a toss-up. I really can't put my finger on who I think might just come out victorious in this game. But it should be a great matchup, and whoever wins it, I'm going to say this, they're going to earn it. I know that.
Yeah, Spring Hill brings the physicality to the game, and then Brinkley brings the speed and athleticism. I'm not saying neither team, you know, doesn't have either one. They're both fast and they're both also physical, but I would say when you see it Brinkley, you see the athleticism peak there immediately off the charts, and then Spring Hill, obviously, they're going to run the football as much as they can. They're going to play hard-nosed defense as well. They've played some really good games defensively over the past couple of weeks, so it'll be interesting to see how they contain that Brinkley offense. And then, of course, Brinkley was off last week. They're back in session this week as they take on the Bears of Spring Hill in a big, big matchup in our sanctioned division battle of number four and number two. The other game, looking at me dead in the eye here in the preseason, I don't know if I'd have said that this was going to be a big game, I'll be honest with you, but with the way Dermont has been playing, this has turned into a huge sanctioned South game down there in deep southeast Arkansas as the Strong Bulldogs travel down to the southeast portion of the state to take on the Dermont Rams. Dermont was off last week, so I'm sure they probably got to see a little bit of Strong. So the Bulldogs, similar teams, Steve. I would say both teams are really athletic, really fast. Both teams play, or the past few games have played really good defense. So, Steve, I think this is really aiming up to be a good one. And this could also, you never know, be a sanctioned South Conference championship.
It's very possible, Aaron. You know, both teams, as you said, they're very similar. They have great athletes, lots of speed. The defense has ratcheted up a notch for, especially for Dermont. That was one thing that coaches were concerned about last year was their different play on defense. Well, they seem to have gotten that going the right direction. It'll be a tough game between the Bulldogs and the Rams here. I'm looking forward to seeing how this one plays out. And as you said, could very well be a South Division championship game. We just don't know it at this point, but it could happen that way.
It could happen with the way the conference looks. I mean, this is, again, we've said it, I'm beating a dead horse there, and I sound like a broken record. This is the most competitive, I think, we've seen eight-man football in the sanctioned part. So the sanctioned division's probably the most competitive we've seen them in a long time. So you never know. This could, by the time the season ends, this could be it. This could be the game that decides the sanctioned South. So moving on to our next game here in our sanctioned division, Izard County going on the road to take on the Midland Mustangs. The Mustangs coming off their first victory of the season and that win over Midland, while Izard County coming off another disgusting loss to another club division team, of course, state championship team, of course. Izard County, I think, has the edge in this one. Midland, obviously, going to be a good football team for years to come. They have some really good players coming up in the younger divisions, but Izard County, I think, going to be too much Friday night against the Mustangs, Steve.
I'd have to favor ICC in this game. Midland's coming. They, as you said, they've got they're going to be a team to contend with in the future. You never know what's going to happen, but I have to think that ICC is favorite, has to be favored in this game.
And then rounding out the top seven, Mountain Pine, like I mentioned, back in action this week as they take they hit the road this week and travel over to Marvel. The Mustangs honestly did not know if they were going to have a football team this year. We tried to do everything we could to contact them in the offseason. Never heard from them. And obviously, off the football field, stuff going on over there at the school was the football season was up in air as the summer moved on. But Marvel's here. They've got a football team, and they are ready to play. Coach Jared Murphy over there in his first season as the Mustangs head coach. They've got a good team, though, coming to town. Mountain Pine coming off a really bad loss on the road at Rector 2 weeks ago. Got that bye week down last week to really gather their thoughts and get back to the drawing board and figure things out, and I think they could probably do that this week. Marvel, though, trying to get their first win in the Jared Murphy area over there, the Jared Murphy era, I should say, over there at Marvel Lane High School. But Red Devils going to be tough to stop, Steve.
I agree. I don't see the Mustangs having the firepower to stop them very much. I think Mountain Pine probably will win this game.
And now to our last segment here, our club division rankings for week four, starting at number one. You guessed it, Mountain View still sitting in that number one spot. They've been sitting there since they beat Fountain Lake in the mid part of the season last year, and they haven't gave it up. And speaking of Fountain Lake, they will be hitting the road and visiting Fountain Lake for the first time ever Friday night as the Cobras take on or host the Yellow Jackets. And then at number two, Subiaco Academy back at home this week, and they will take on the Cutter Morningstar Eagles in a battle of number two and number three as Cutter Morningstar visits Subiaco Academy. Yeah. Moving on now down the list at number four, we have the Genoa Central Dragons. They bump up inside the top five as they will be hitting the road to play a scrappy Parker's Chapel team this week. Could end up being a really good game down there in South Arkansas. And then at number five, we have the Corning Bobcats. They fall a spot down, and they will be taking on the Marshall Bobcats. Battle of the Bobcats there in Northeast Arkansas. And then at number six, like I mentioned, the Fountain Lake Cobras hosting the Mountain View Yellow Jackets. And then our game of the week, rounding out our top seven in our club division, it's the Cedar Ridge Timberwolves and the Rosebud Ramblers. Should be a good one happening over there in Rosebud. Can't wait to get over there and visit the Ramblers and watch this game Friday night coming up. So back up to the top, Steve. It's a rematch of last year's club division state championship as Mountain View travels down to take on Fountain Lake. I think this could be could potentially be a good game. I know up front Fountain Lake is obviously going to run the football as much as they can. Mountain View is going to try and run the football a lot with Drew Shelton and the horse stable of running backs they've got back there. This could be a tough game for Fountain Lake, though, on defense, because both guys are going both ways. This game, either way, you can say what you want about Fountain Lake. They're gonna show up to the game. They're gonna play as hard as they can, try to win that. They obviously want some revenge after what happened last year. So, Steve, what's your thoughts on this game?
I think the Yellow Jackets are decided favorite in this game, Aaron. To be perfectly honest, just based on the way things have played out so far. you know, they certainly look like a juggernaut on paper, and you know, Fountain Lake's going to have their work cut out to slow them down and stop them. And, you know, being without their top two people at quarterback doesn't help the Cobras' chances any. But, you know, who knows? You never know when two teams get together, and they are traveling down to Fountain Lake to play a game, and the Cobras will have the home field advantage. So I do think Mountain View will come away with the win. It could be a tough one. It could be a close game, but I do think Yellow Jackets have to be the favorite here.
So moving on to our second game here, Subiaco Academy and taking on Cutter Morning Star. I've got to say, I think this will be the best offense that Cutter has seen this year, and I think it might be the best offense Subiaco Academy has seen this year outside of maybe Mountain View. But this has the potential to be another good game out in the River Valley there of Western Arkansas as the Trojans host the Eagles. The Trojans got the best of the Cutter Morning Star last year in a big win there in Eastern Hot Springs, but this year could be a little bit different. What do you think, Steve?
I think you've got an opportunity for Cutter Morning Star to make their mark on the program, show everybody that they're here. You know, Cutter didn't have numbers last year. They've got improved numbers, and they've really played well so far. They're going to be running up against a really tough, well-coached bunch of Trojans there when they in Subiaco Academy. But if there's ever a chance for a team to make their mark and make their stamp and say, we're going to be a contender in this division, this is their opportunity. And I think the winner of this game is going to be the clear-cut number two in the in that division, and that will be the team that will be the one that'll give the top team the run for the money going into the playoffs. So it's a battle for the number two spot, and I have to think that Cutter's going to do everything they can to win it. But the Trojans, they're going to, you know, they've got a good club, and it's going to be a great game.
I agree. I'm looking forward to this one, watching this one as well, along with doing our game of the week Friday night. Another one happening in South Arkansas, I would say, down there in El Dorado. Genoa Central taking on Parker's Chapel. Now, obviously, Parker's Chapel, they've been in a lot of close games here to start the season. Scored that 70-point game against Dermont, had that really close game the next week against Spring Hill, and then another close one last week to Strong. Genoa Central, on the other hand, they are the opposite. They finally got over the hump last week and got that close win over Woodlawn. They also lost a close one to Spring Hill a couple of weeks ago as well. So we're really going to see who wants to win this the most, or who is going to do the most to win this game happening Friday night. Now, Genoa Central obviously ranked due to their number of wins, obviously, in Parker's Chapel, of course, you know, still they're right on the outside looking in, I would say. A win here this week would definitely put Parker's Chapel in our top seven rankings. Steve, what's your thoughts on the Dragons and the Trojans this week?
I think it'll be an outstanding game. I think, as you said, Aaron, the Trojans have an opportunity to make a statement here and to get a win against an obviously much improved Genoa Central club would be a great step in that direction. And Parker's Chapel's really improved. I'm impressed with what they've been able to do. They just haven't quite been able to get over the hump consistently, and I think they have an opportunity this week to, as I said, to do just that. And I think it'll be a tremendous game. And can't put my finger on who might come out the winner in this game, but I think it's going to be very competitive, and wouldn't be surprised to see either one of the teams win.
Yeah, two evenly matched teams, in my opinion. So it'll be fun to keep up with that one happening down there in Parker's Chapel. Our next one here, Corning taking on Marshall in a battle of the Bobcats, as Marshall trying to get back into that winning column while Corning takes a small step back after losing to rival Rector last week. Another big time chance here for Marshall to really make their mark and to put a stamp on themselves here in the young season as we continue 2023, and a chance to possibly jump in there in our top seven rankings. But they're going up against a really good Corning Bobcat team that's got some big guys all across the front line. And Corning, similar to Rector, they're going to run the ball as much as they can, but they've got a good quarterback play as well in the backfield, so Marshall's got to watch out for that. Marshall, on the other hand, played really good last week against a really good Subiaco Academy team, just couldn't put it all together, losing by 10 to number two Subiaco Academy. But I think they're on the cusp of getting a big win here. Steve, what's your thoughts?
It's a possibility. Corning, we'll see. They've looked pretty good so far this season. They did take a little bit of a step back last week, but when you think of it, Corning's two losses have both been to the top team in their division, or in the other division. That's very telling in one way, and I'll be interested to see what Marshall brings to the table and see if they can replicate last week's effort against that they had against Subiaco, and we'll see what happens in this game. But I think it's a big game, huge game for Marshall. If they can get a win here, it'd be tremendous for them. But it's also an opportunity for Corning to show that that they two wins they have so far weren't a fluke, and they have an opportunity to make us to tell everybody that they're a solid team and a contender for the playoffs in their division.
You're right. And you can catch that game by our friend Andy Earls in the Corning Sports Report. They'll be streaming that game Friday night if you want to go watch that one. So now to our game of the week happening over in Rosebud Friday night. The T-Wolves of Cedar Ridge, the Timberwolves traveling over to take on the Rosebud Ramblers. And Rosebud, they have seen some really good offensive play this year, Steve. Not going to take that away from them, but on the other side of the ball, it's been completely different. Rosebud is giving up as many points this year as they did last year, and they've got to figure out how to stop that. I mean, you can't keep playing the game if you can't really stop anybody. And Cedar Ridge, they've been able to score points when teams do have lesser defenses. Obviously, they were able to play against a really competitive Fountain Lake team last week. But the T-Wolves going up against arguably, I wouldn't say the worst, but a defense down there that hasn't played up to par this year. Obviously, like Coach Hag would like over there at Rosebud. But nonetheless, I think we have the potential for a really good game here Friday night as Cedar Ridge visits Rosebud, Steve.
Absolutely. I mean, both teams are starving for a victory. And Rosebud just needs to come out and play focused football, and they've got to figure out how to make some stops on defense, and that's been just the drawback for them. I mean, like you said, they played outstanding offensive football at times, but when they run up a good defense, they have their struggles themselves on offense. So this is an opportunity for Rosebud to play against a team which I think they're pretty evenly matched with, to be perfectly honest. From a competitive standpoint, it's going to be an opportunity. Both teams need a win in the worst way, and it's a chance for Rosebud to finally get one in the win column. And so game of the week, it'll be a tremendous atmosphere, I think, there at Rosebud this week, and it should be a good football game, but I'm looking for maybe the Ramblers to get an all-important victory in this game.
It's going to be a fun one. We're going live on the Arkansas 8-Man Game of the Week YouTube channel, which you can find on the Facebook 8-Man group that we have obviously been running now for a year. And all the info there. If you're not already, please go join the group. There's a lot of 8-Man info and content that gets posted there almost daily. So if you won't have any excuse to find the link if you are in that group, because I've been posting it now. I actually just shared it as of Tuesday when we were recording this, just shared another link to the game of the week happening in Rosebud. And we are going live at 6:45 that night over there in Rambler Country. Can't wait to get over there. It's been a long time since I've made the visit to Rosebud, and I'm looking forward to meeting all you Rosebud Rambler fans out there Friday night. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Arkansas 8-Man Football Podcast. On the phone lines with me, my friend Steve Knox joining me as always. And, man, thanks for once again talking some football with me today, Steve.
Enjoyed it, Aaron. Enjoy our visits. And I'm looking forward to hopefully what will be a good, exciting week of 8-Man football in the state of Arkansas. And I hope you guys have a great call Friday night. And I'll be paying attention to that one. I'll be peeking in, see what's going on.
Yeah, and once again, before we sign off here, I want to give a big shout-out to our guys at Scorebook Live, Nate Olson, Kyle Sutherland. Without them, the podcast, I'm not sure where we'd be right now. And then our live streaming company, Lake Area Sports, they are providing the equipment to stream 8-Man football to you guys statewide. So with that, that is the latest episode of the Arkansas 8-Man Football Podcast. My name is Aaron Weatherford. We will talk to you guys next week.